Welcome to the Michael Slate Show. I'm your host, Michael Slate. I know I say this often about our shows, and I do sincerely mean what I say, but even given that, I really feel like this is one of the outstanding shows that we've done. So buckle up and get ready. At the back end of the show, we'll be listening to a very special segment, a conversation between Carl Dix of the Revolutionary Communist Party and the legendary and still rolling Chuck D from the immortal crew Public Enemy, which played a big role in changing the musical world and the people who listened to it. Carl is talking with Chuck about his new song and video, State of the Union, STFU. Before that, we'll hear Bob Avakian, chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, with What to the Slave is Your 4th of July, From the Past to the Present, from a speech given in the early 2000s, Revolution, Why It's Necessary, Why It's Possible, What It's All About. I warned you that this is a packed show, so you won't be surprised by our quick talk with the revolutionary communist and notorious burner of the American flag, laying out the immoral and criminal character of the USA and of all the wretched symbols and flags it uses to celebrate these crimes, Gregory Joey Johnson. And as sometimes happens on the Michael Slate Show, especially in times where a lot's going on, you're going to be hearing references to protests on July 4th, which of course is already passed. But the movement continues, and people are still in the streets. And opening the show up, I'm really pleased to welcome to the show Michelle Chai from the Los Angeles Revolution Club and Yvette, a counselor, activist, and the organizer of the powerful Unity March that took place in Orange County, California, as part of the beautiful uprisings that have been going on against police terror for the last month. Joining us to talk about this is Michelle and Yvette. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Michael.
Yvette, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
One of the things I wanted to talk with you folks about in particular is what's been happening in the buildup to this whole amazing pack of nonsense and dirt that's going on in relation to this society today. Michelle, you've been involved in the Revolution Club in Los Angeles, and you put out a call to people this July 4th to dishonor the American flag. Tell us about that for a start.
You know, this July 4th, right, as in a moment where people have been in the streets protesting and, you know, beautiful uprising that has been happening for like a month now, and where these kinds of questions have actually begun to be opened up, right? Like, why is this happening? Why is it that black and brown people get shot down in the streets like dogs, and the cops always get away with murder, right? And one of the things that has been really beautiful in this whole uprising is people actually questioning, like, and actually talking about the role of this country, you know, for people to actually like be thinking about the foundation of this country and the genocide, the slavery, the war, you know, the fact that now we're in a situation where all the way down to today, like, this country is being ruled by a fascist regime, you know, that's like wrapped in the American flag, rallying up his white supremacist fascist base. And the symbol of all of that is the American flag, right? On the basis of quote unquote, make America great again, America first, all the ugliness of that, and the fact that these people are preparing for a civil war and going after these people, you know, brown, black, immigrants, all the stuff like filled with xenophobia, filled with white supremacy, like that's what this country and that's what this flag represents. And so on July 4th, when people are told celebrating the independence of America, we're going to be dishonoring the American flag and calling on people, bring your own flag, do art on it, you know, street theater art is welcomed. We're going to be marching in the streets and actually putting forward America was never great. And more than that, like the possibility of a different world, you know, there's a quote from Bob Avakian that we've actually been getting out that I'm going to read real quick. It says, if you can conceive of a world without America, without everything America stands for and everything it does in the world, then you've already taken great strides and begun to get a glimpse of a whole new world. If you can envision a world without any imperialism, exploitation, oppression, and the whole philosophy that rationalizes it, a world without division into classes or even different nations, and all the narrow-minded, selfish, outmoded ideas that oppose this, if you can envision all this, then you have the basis for proletarian internationalism. And once you have raised your sights to all this, how could you not feel compelled to take an active part in the world's historic struggle to realize it? Why would you want to lower your sights to anything less? The moment that we're in and where people are actually like, big questions are up in the air. And we'll be bringing forward the fact that there actually is a way out of this. You know, we need a revolution, nothing less. And we're the Revolution Club, and, you know, in the National Revolution Tour, we're like followers of Baba Vakian, who has actually like written a constitution, right, of what a society can look like after a revolution. And the possibility of like people living in a world where they don't walk around the streets with a target in their back is real. And we have to be working towards getting rid of this system. And that's what the demands on July 4th is: an end to institutionalized racism and murder by police, nothing less. An end to any way people anywhere are used, abused, and brutalized, nothing less. So that's a long answer, but that's actually what we're going to be bringing out on July 4th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really important. And one of the things I wanted to ask Yvette, you're listening to this and you've been involved in it in one way or another over the recent past. What is it that got you into this? And I understand you actually were one of the forces, you were one of the people who actually stepped up and helped to organize most recently this whole demonstration that was going on that was actually very, I think it was very moving and very compelling in terms of people seeing both the need and the possibility when people really go out after this. Let's talk about that. What brought you into it?
Well, I've been active in the community for the last few years here in Orange County. And I'm an advocate. I help out people with mental health issues. I help them navigate the legal system. I help them with the medical system. So besides my own experiences, it's been the call of the community. When I go out there and people come up to me for help, when there's things going on around the country and they call me to seek answers, when this uprising started, I was really hoping to see more involvement from the community. And, you know, I waited. As a mom, it was really important for me to have a safe space where I can bring my family, especially my children, and teach them that this is the right and that this is part of the change. And I didn't see anything happening. So I had to take action. I had to take it upon myself to reach out to my friends and the amazing RevCons, who immediately said yes. And they came, people came from LA. They organized this caravan. And, you know, it's been just beautiful. It's been so touching and so moving, because the community in Orange County is not used to speaking up. People are not, the same reason why 98% of the people take plea bargains from the court system, from the prosecutors, it's the same reason why people don't take the streets. It's the same reason why people don't share their stories. It's the same reason why they don't speak up. And let me tell you, the community had been reaching out to me the entire week, telling me there were sightings of eyes being in the community. And we showed most of the community on Saturday. They came out from their houses through their door. But a lot of people were scared to join us. So we were there mainly to remind them that what happens to them matters. Their stories matter, and that their voices need to be heard. So maybe they're not really sure if they should come out or not. Maybe they're scared, but we are here showing them that we can do this and that it needs to be done. It has to be now. I love the slogan. It is a revolution, nothing less. Indeed, this is a revolution, nothing less. And it's part of the movement to start educating the people and giving them the tools for them to speak up.
Michelle, that's a very important point that's being made. Can you add on to that? I mean, it's this whole thing about basically what you folks did was you came down and you recognized, you know, something big that was happening and it needed to be spoken to. But it wasn't just like speaking to it. There was actually this opening march that came together. And we've just been talking with Yvette about how it got pulled together. But the Revolution Nothing Less banner also, to me, that was kind of very heavy that became, and Yvette mentioned this in what she was saying, but it was very heavy to me that became sort of a symbol of unity for the march and later. Let's talk about that.
I'd like to just start where Yvette was speaking to. When Yvette called me and said, hey, we're going to do this march, or we want to do this march in Santa Ana around Black Lives Matter and free our children from the cages, we were like, yes, you know, right away, yes, you know, this is needed, you know. And here in LA, the RevCons actually called for a Black and Brown United Against the System like a few weeks back. And that's actually what's needed, you know, in a moment where there's a lot of things out there and a lot of racism among like the Latino community and, you know, and a lot of stuff where people are being pinned against each other instead of actually like, you know, coming together and the need to actually like anybody, not just we as a RevCon, need to back something like that up and actually give it strength and, you know, and help it accomplish what it's actually trying to accomplish. And so, you know, as Yvette said, we reached out to people out here in Los Angeles. We reached out to people out in Orange County and we're like, yes, we're going to be out there. We're going to do a caravan and we're going to, you know, drive from LA to Santa Ana to be a part of this, right? And we brought the Revolution Latinas banner and we were out there as the Revolution Club, bringing forward the need for an actual revolution, the leadership of Bob Avakian, and inviting people to actually join the revolution, to put on the Revolution Latinas t-shirt and to represent for the revolution. And when people put on those shirts, you know, people are representing for the revolution. They're living and fighting for the points of attention for the revolution, you know, fighting for a world without borders, fighting for a world where women, men, differently gendered people are equals and comrades, fighting for the truth no matter how unpopular. And the banner, you know, was, I thought, just looking back at some of the pictures and thinking about, you look out at the protests and you see like, you know, at a certain point after we stopped at the Palestinian protests and we kept marching, you know, just the diversity, you know, people that came from, that actually joined our protest from the Palestinian protest, Black, Brown, children, and then just the backdrop of that, that big Revolution of the Latinas banner. Then at the Speak Out, that actually became the backdrop as well, where people really were like putting forward where they were coming from, you know, really speaking to why they were there at the protest. You know, some people were putting forward, well, we got to vote. Other people were putting forward, well, you know, we got to go and protect our children. You know, other people were bringing together like youth from different sets, youth from different neighborhoods that, you know, in would be pinned against each other. And in that moment, they had just shaken hands and were coming together in unity, you know, because they saw the urgency and the situation and the need to put all of that aside and actually come together, you know. And people really were like, you know, on the spot, putting on the Revolution of the Latinas t-shirts, getting into deep discussions with us. And it really was like that banner became a symbol of unity, you know, where whether people agreed, you know, with the Revolution of the Latinas, but it really was like we really were there together on a mission, you know. And there was no snarkiness, there was no, you know, as people were really principally putting forward like, well, here's where I disagree, but, you know, but we're there together and we should be opening up these questions and this discussion in a bigger way. And I thought that really came through at that protest, you know.
You're listening to The Michael Slate Show, and we're talking with Michelle Chai and Yvette about the powerful unity march that took place recently in Orange County, California.
Yeah, that's the sense I got from just even just reading about it. It was really, you know, I was like reading and I'm thinking, damn, man, I wish I had been there, because it was sort of like, you know, something big was happening that I think is important in terms of what's needed in the society overall. And Michelle, one more question for you. And at the moment, you spoke for the Revolution Club at the rally. Well, what was the impact of that? Because, you know, people, when they hear, okay, there's the Revolution Club, it's not the same as hearing like, okay, you know, we've got this thing happening over here, or this thing happening over here, but it puts something out to people that I'm sure people had some kind of, there was something that people must have thought about when that was raised, when it was raised as, this is really important here. This is you spoke for the Revolution Club at the rally. How did people react to that?
We had a pretty good response. I mean, people off of that speech, people were like putting on the Revolution of the Latinas t-shirts. I actually gave a shout out to some people that during the march, they went ahead and put on the shirts, you know, and they stood with me while I gave, you know, my speech. They stood with me there with their Revolution of the Latinas t-shirts. It was just really bringing to people what they need to know about, like, I mean, I did put forward the thing about July 4th and why, you know, the history of this country, but also the symbol of that flag, the fact that that's the same flag that, you know, it flies over the detention centers where these children and these families are like separated and are held at the borders simply for coming from another country and trying to seek asylum and trying to seek a better life for them and their children, fleeing violence and poverty, and they're kept in these cells. It's the same flag that's like stitched on the uniform of the cops that go around the neighborhoods of the oppressed and brutalize and arrest and murder Black and Latino people on a daily basis. You know, it's the same flag that, you know, is on the military bases that occupy all over the world, that is on the uniform of, you know, the military that carries out all of this violence and brutality and murder of people everywhere, you know. And that's bringing to people that reality of that flag and the symbol of it, and why it is that on July 4th we're putting this call to dishonor the American flag and calling on people to join, you know, and the fact that we need a revolution. You know, there's no reforming the system. There's no putting an end to everything that I just walked through short of an actual revolution. And I think what this uprising has shown is the potential to actually take that all the way further, to really putting an end to all of this, not settling for just the small, the concessions that people are winning right now are important, but that's only been because people have taken to the streets for a month. But again, that shows the potential of like people really being able to take this further to the point where we can actually bring down this whole system and replace it with a whole new system that's based on the Constitution for the new socialist republic that Bava Bacon has written, that people can live a whole different way, that people wouldn't have to be, everything that I just walked through is unnecessary. It's the fact that it's a system, right? And I brought to people the leadership of that, you know, Bava Bacon. I described him in two words, right? Emancipate humanity, because that's what he's about. He's somebody who you, Michael, talk about a vacant on your show regularly, and that's really important, you know. But the fact that people need to recognize that this is the leadership, like, is a leadership like no other, that has dedicated his whole life to actually bringing forth a real solution to this, bringing forward a real strategy, you know, somebody who came out of the movement of the 60s and saw that there was a potential to actually take this further, you know, and the fact that it didn't, he didn't give up on that. He actually went to work on, okay, how do we really do it? You know, we have something here like we haven't had before, that people didn't have in the movement of the 60s, that we actually have to appreciate and that we have to really work on. And that's what I was calling on people to actually join up with. And we got a pretty good response, and people stayed at the end of the march and actually got into some discussion about problem solution and about, you know, putting forward their, how they were thinking about the situation. And then I do want to point people to our Twitter, because on the Revolution Club Orange County Twitter, there's a beautiful video of, you know, people that had just put on their shirts, standing in front of the Revolution Nothing Less banner and chanting, looking like a force, you know, and it was just a really beautiful sight of that.
Mm-hmm. Now we are running on our time, and I wanted to ask you this. I guess both of you can throw in on this, but it's been really inspiring what you guys have been saying, you know, including this thing about welcoming revolution. And I wanted to talk with you about this, that, you know, there's a celebration in the U.S. of July 4th. Yeah, this is when we got our freedom. This is all this other stuff that's in, all the lies that they've told throughout history get concentrated in that in a way. But you folks that were out there and you were demonstrating that this is a time not to praise the flag or the American system, but to dishonor the flag. And there's all kinds of things that are being planned for this coming weekend. And I wanted to ask you if you have anything that you have planned in relation to that.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Yvette.
For us as a family, we planned a little kind of like lecture thing, if you want to say, where instead of burning fireworks and honoring this flag, we're going to be talking about the real history of what the flag represents today. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're trying to join the RevComs in LA, even if it's just for a little bit. We're in South Orange County, so it's kind of far, mm-hmm, with three kids. And, you know, it's kind of a punishment for myself to drive all the way there with them.
But it's got a big reward at the end, okay?
Yes. Yeah. And that's something very inspiring. When we came home that day after the march, and I talked to my children, and I asked them, how you feel about this? Because we've been to many protests before. I take them to the Women's March, to the climate change. We've been to Black Lives Matter protests lately here in South Orange County. And this time they seemed very different, very, very inspired and moved. And they came home happy with a sense of accomplishment and wanting more. So I definitely want to feed that. I want to feed that sense of there's a bigger purpose of this, bigger than myself. Mm-hmm. And just spreading the word about what the RevCons are doing this 4th of July, it's really important because people need to understand that the history of this flag, it's not what we were told. It's not what they tell us in school. And as I was telling Michelle yesterday, this is very personal for me. My family comes from California and was displaced throughout history, and they ended up in Mexico. So this is personal. This is very personal for me.
Mm-hmm. All right, Michelle, you get to close things up. And I was thinking about this in terms of welcoming revolution this July 4th. You're talking about demonstrating to dishonor the American flag. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. July 4th, we're going to demonstrate how to dishonor the American flag, our demands, an end to institutionalized racism and murder by police, nothing less, an end to any way people anywhere use, abuse, and brutalize, nothing less.
Well, I guess I can just say to both of you, Michelle, Yvette, thank you for being here and thank you for being out there and doing what you're doing. And I look forward to hearing some kind of report about what happened, because I think it's really important that people know about it and know about what happened. All right?
Well, yes. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you both. This is the Michael Slate Show, and we have just been talking with Michelle Chai and Yvette, both organizers of the recent Unity March that took place in Orange County, California.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back, so stay tuned. Right, that's not in our name from Savage Rose. That kicks me every time I hear it. All right, I'm very pleased to be welcoming to the show Gregory Joey Johnson, the defendant in the landmark Supreme Court decision, Texas versus Johnson, 1989. This is the case that ruled that the burning of the U.S. flag is a protected form of free speech. And it's telling the world that he's back out there. He's at it again, and he will be burning the flag again. And it couldn't be more appropriate and needed. Welcome to the show, Joey.
Hey, Michael. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, so quick, man. What the hell's up? What's up with this? What have you done? You've been doing this a few times so far. So what's the importance about it doing it now?
Well, I would say this is actually the most critical moment to be defying the symbol of international oppression and plunder and murder, genocide and slavery and invasion and occupation and torture. Coup d'etats, this American flag, is the most critical time to be doing it because there's a fascist in the White House, in Donald Trump, and he's trying to seize the initiative from against the uprising of the people that's been going on for some weeks now after the hideous murder of George Floyd. Millions of people pouring out into the street say they refuse to live in the society that stick with institutionalized racism and murder at the hands of the police, the enforcers for this system, and wanting to live in a society where that's not happening, where that's a thing of the past. And millions of people have raised their heads and their hearts and gotten out into the streets and stayed in the streets. And this has rocked this whole fascist regime back on its heels. But it's coming back viciously against the people. I mean, look, right now there's a huge fight going on in society over symbols. Trump has called for federal prosecution of people that have taken down these statues of white supremacists and Confederate generals and massacres of Native Americans and colonizers and conquistadors around the country. This has been going on hundreds of places. This is a righteous repudiation of the actual ugly history of this country. And so he's trying to bring down the hammer on that. And at the same time, he's calling for a recriminalization of burning the American flag in protest and for people to do it to get a year in prison and look, for your listeners that don't know, this was already decided by the Supreme Court in 1989. In my case, Texas versus Johnson, that burning the American flag in protest constitutionally protected speech. It's called symbolic speech. And what Trump is doing and trying to reverse that decision is, it's called compulsory patriotism. The government prohibits you from expressing something utilizing one of its symbols, then that's a form of forcing you to respect those symbols. And people shouldn't stand for it, whether or not they're coming from my framework as someone who sees the flag and the whole system. The flag is really a brand logo for this system of American capitalism and imperialism, for the whole white supremacist history of this country, for the genocidal history against the indigenous people, for everything, for all its crimes around the world. Whether you see the flag like that, like myself, or you think it can be redeemed and reclaimed or whatever, Trump is throwing down a fascist challenge that there's going to be one permissible meaning to the flag, a meaning that the regime attaches to it. All this pro-America mythology, land of the free, home of the brave, no, land of plunder and home of the enslaved. And but people have to take on this challenge. And this July 4th, the Revolution Club in Los Angeles and around the country is calling on people to demonstrate how to dishonor the American flag, how to dishonor it. And people should go out to the protest. It should be part of it. It's happening at 1 p.m. at Sunset Boulevard and Cahuenga Boulevard in Los Angeles. People should be part of it. And it should BYO, bring your own flag to dishonor. And make a statement. Make a statement to the people of the world that you're standing with the 7 billion on the planet. The 7 billion who have no future in a world of empires and imperialist plunder and slaughter. I want to tell you a chant that the Revolution Club lifted up mm-hmm. in the uprising for George Floyd that was actually very, very popular among the people. 1, 2, 3, 4, slavery, genocide, and war. 5, 6, 7, 8, America was never great. And this is something people took up wherever we went. And so the stakes are high, you know. Trump is headed out to Mount Rushmore as part of his Independence Day celebration. Once again, he gets this point about symbols. So Mount Rushmore, you know, was carved into the Dakota Hills, and it's a monument to white supremacy. It's a monument to imperialist plunder, genocide of the Native American peoples. It's got the relief of four American presidents, Washington, Jefferson, Teddy Roosevelt, and Lincoln. And it's, and actually, people might not know, but the person, the Native American, this Ogallala Sioux, people take greatest offense at, is Lincoln, because he ordered the largest mass execution in American history when 38 Sioux were hanged during the U.S.-Dakota War of 1862. This is the true history of this country. This is what it did. You know, Lincoln, the so-called emancipator. This is what this country has actually done. And the Sioux tribal leaders have told Trump he does not have permission from the original sovereign owners of the land there to enter the territory. And protests are planned against it. And I'm standing completely with the Sioux, the Ogallala Sioux people, and standing and rising up against Trump coming there to visit.
Now, let me ask you this.
Every time. Mm-hmm. These are heavy times that makes a difference what people do. And I just want to say this, you know, coming from my own perspective as a member of the Revolution Club and as a follower of the revolutionary leader, Baba Bacon, who people need to find out about it at revcom.us. He's a most important. He's the most important political thinker and leader in the world today. And this is what Baba Bacon has to say about American patriotism. He says, quote, "If you can conceive of a world without America, without everything America stands for and everything it does in the world, then you've already taken great strides and begun to get at least a glimpse of a whole new world. If you can envision a world without any imperialism, exploitation, oppression, and the whole philosophy that rationalizes it, a world without division into classes or even different nations, and all the narrow-minded, selfish, outmoded ideas that uphold this. If you can envision all this, then you have the basis for proletarian internationalism. And once you have raised your sights to all this, how could you not feel compelled to take an active part in the world historic struggle to realize it? Why would you want to lower your sights to anything less? And that's from the book Basics from the Talks and Writings of Baba Bacon, mm-hmm. which your listeners can find at revcom.us. I encourage them to check it out, to find out about this.
Mm-hmm. All right, Joey, and I'll just say real quick in wrapping this up, you've also said that a worldwide call in burning the flag is what's called for now. Let's talk about that just real quick.
Absolutely. This isn't something confined to the geography or to the borders of, you know, within the United States. After all, we live in an empire, and people around the world have something to say about this. So I'm calling on people anywhere in the world on the 4th of July. You want to make a statement and condemnation and repudiation of American imperialism, the plunder and the wars for empire, the crimes against humanity. You're more than welcome. Please join with us.
Okay, Joey, I want to thank you very much for joining us today, man.
All right, thank you. Take care, Michael.
All right, you too, man.
Hey, Michael, just one more thing I want to say before I go. This thing about Trump saying that the painting of a giant Black Lives Matter on the Fifth Avenue, on the street in front of Trump Tower in New York City, is itself a quote-unquote symbol of hate. I mean, that says something. That's how hideous this white supremacist monster in the White House is. And I want to send a shout out to all my Black Lives Matter friends and people we've met in the streets over the last week. And this uprising has been beautiful, but we can't let this go down. Once again, we have to defy it. The 4th of July is the perfect time, wherever you're coming from, to say that you refuse to live in a white supremacist system. You refuse to live in a system of forced patriotism. So get out there and express yourself however you see fit.
All right,
and
man.
The hashtags for July 4th are hashtag July 4th burn flag and hashtag flag burning challenge.
Now let's hear Baba Bacon, chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, with What to the Slave is Your 4th of July from the Past to the Present. All right. Thank you very much, Joey.
All right, then. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Frederick Douglass was a slave himself who, after he got his own freedom, spent his life fighting against the oppression of black people and other injustices. Invited to speak at a July 4th celebration, Douglass made clear that July 4th was nothing to celebrate and that America was guilty of great crimes. Here's what he said about it. What to the American slave is your 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him, more than all other days in the year, the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is the constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham. Your boasted liberty and unholy license, your national greatness, swelling vanity. Your sounds of rejoicing are empty and heartless. Your denunciation of tyrants are brass-fronted impudence. Your shouts of liberty and equality, hollow mockery. Your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgiving, with all your parade and solemnity, are to him mere bombast, fraud, deception, impiety, and hypocrisy. A thin veil to cover up crimes that would disgrace a nation of savages. There is not a nation on earth guilty of practices more shocking and bloody than are the people of the United States at this very hour. And Douglass also said, America may accuse others of savagery, but really it has no equal when it comes to this. He said, for revolting barbarity and shameless hypocrisy, America reigns without a rival. As the saying goes, truer words were never spoken. Douglas spoke these words while slavery still legally existed in the United States, but his comments apply just as much even after outright slavery was ended. And all this time, while all these lynchings and other acts of incredible cruelty were being carried out, with all the oppression they embodied and enforced, all this time, those who ruled this country, those who refused to do anything to stop these lynchings and other acts of terror and atrocities, those who were responsible for these and other barbaric crimes, all this time, they never stopped proclaiming, this is the greatest country in the world. This is the greatest country that has ever been. This is the leader of the free world. This is the homeland of freedom and democracy. It is not just that many white people acted like depraved beasts. And it is not that some were actually devils, although it certainly may have seemed that way many times in the history of this country. The deeper thing is that all these horrors were shaped by, they were encouraged by, and they served to keep in effect a whole system, a system that could not have existed without first slavery and then near slavery. And segregation and terror centered in the South while the great majority of black people lived there, chained in one way or another to the rural South and on white-owned plantations. White supremacy is built into the foundation of this country. It is something this system and those who rule it could not do without, even if they wanted to, which they don't. And this has continued down to the present. Despite all the false claims these days about how this is now a colorblind society, segregation and discrimination continue against black people and other people of color. Every time there is a study or a survey to determine this, it shows without fail that segregation and discrimination exist in housing, in jobs, in schools, in healthcare, in every part of society. And this continues to be backed up with brutality and violence.
That was Bob Avakian, chairman of the Revolutionary Communist Party, with What to the Slave is Your 4th of July, From the Past to the Present, from a speech given in the early 2000s. Revolution, why it's necessary, why it's possible, what it's all about.
Now we'll listen to State of the Union, STFU, the new piece by Chuck D and Public Enemy. Following this, we'll listen to a conversation between Carl Dix of the Revolutionary Communist Party and Chuck D. This audio is courtesy of the Revolution Nothing Less show on your YouTube channel, The RevComs, and you can find a link on my Facebook page to get you there.
Go! 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 Just go! 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 Go!
Whatever it takes, rid this dictator. POTUS my tail, ass the beta. Prime time primo, rhyme time crime. Like no other in this lifetime. White House killer, dead in lifelines. Vote this joke out or die trying. Unprecedented, demented, mini presidented. Nazi Gestapo, dictator defendant. It's not what you think, it's what you follow. Run for them jewels, drink from that bottle. Another 4 years gonna gut your hollow. Gut it out, dried up, broken, can't borrow.
State of the Union, shut the f*** up. Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the f*** up. Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the f*** up. Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the f*** up. Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me.
Mister, I am the law, and you are not. And f*** them God, I got a lot. Mister, these United breaks, take over, come over. Orange hair, fear the comb over. Here's another scare, keep them hands in the air. Better not breathe, you dare not dare. Don't say nothing, don't think nothing. Make America great again, the middle just love it. When you wanna talk, walk y'all straight to them ovens. Human beings of color, yeah, we be suffering.
State of the Union, shut the f*** up. Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the f*** up. Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the f*** up. Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the f*** up. Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me.
For hell, real generals now, not some USFL, not a f***ing game, I did not mention his name. Operation 45, yeah, it's the same thing. Sounds like Berlin burning, same thing. History's a mystery, if y'all ain't learning. In this clown show, for real estate bozo. Nazi cult 45, Gestapo.
State of the Union, shut the f*** up. Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the f*** up. Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. Shut the f*** up, sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the f*** up, sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the f*** up, sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me. State of the Union, shut the f*** up, sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me.
All right, everybody, this is Carl Dix, and I have the pleasure and the honor of interviewing Chuck D for the RNL show, the Revolution Nothing Less show. And the occasion for this interview is the new video that Public Enemy dropped. And if you ain't seen it, don't admit it. Just run out and look at it right away, because you should have seen it by now. It's got the slamming beats. It's got the urgent visualization that we've come to expect from Public Enemy. And it has got content that is both ripped from the pages of what's happening today, but also pointing you in a certain direction. So, Chuck, why did y'all do this song? What did it have to do? I mean, what was the genesis of this, the motivation?
Well, a lot of the genesis, Carl, and thanks for having me on the show. You know, I'm going to cut back all my Zoom interviews, but coming on your show is an honor and a pleasure. We do that directly, because directly when we communicate with each other, you've been giving tidbits to me over 20 years, you know, so, you know, to refuse and resist and the regimes that take place and to be able to hold them accountable and really press them up against the wall of truth. So consider yourself a co-writer, Carl Dix.
Okay.
On the intent on the intent of artists and people who consider themselves culturalists to become artivists and activists and do our jobs into making your job easier, speaking truth to power. You know, we don't get it twisted. We like to be the soundtrack to movement. We are not movement, and not even a situation that leads and spearheads movement. We galvanize movement with our culture, because we feel that our history, our intent, even our freedom of speech, our freedom of being is in our music, because we weren't allowed to put it anywhere else or express it anywhere else. So we had to do it coded and in soul terms that wasn't easily picked up or detected. So yeah. The song State of the Union is a nice way to put it. It's really State of the Union, you know, shut the f*** up. You sorry ass mother f***, stay away from me. And that's speaking on the Trump-Pence regime. And it's obvious that this dude and his regime and even all those other ones that's circling had already corrupted, you know, the belief that this is a fair, just system, that voting will get the right person in. I think voting is even primitive when you say more is better, because more ain't always better in everything. I mean, if you got more water on top of your head, you can't swim. That's a quicker death because you got more water over your head. So more voters, meaning that we're going to get somebody selected, don't mean better either. Or they always could be manipulated. So the fact when he got in 2016, made me say that people who want righteousness, they don't have no more time. You could buy time a little bit with the other situations with Obama and all. You could buy some time even if you didn't believe any of that. But you could buy some time because you could see whatever's acting or whatever the charade game is, and you can, you know, connect with people, get around the world, and at least, you know, kind of like host your position. But with this cat, when he came in, man, you couldn't buy no more time just for any kind of breathing room, for anything. It was like sense was out of the window, and it was straight gangster. So my whole point on this song was not just the buildup of the last 4 years, but the craziness over the last 120 days, which was the top scab of all of the buildup. It was totally obvious and ridiculous. And I'm like, November, dude. It's like, we got to Nixonize this dude. So, you know, doing social media and doing songs to say, listen, we'll even be nice to say, we don't hate you, dude. We don't hate you. It's just that you don't need to be there in that job. I mean, if you run your old whack casinos, go back to the USFL, owning your whack football teams, have your crazy beauty pageants, you know, do your fake ass celebrity TV shows, you know, go. That's what we're saying. Go back to that. And the fact that you're the president of the United States is the doom for mankind. You got the world looking in, thinking you a clown, and you got half the country looking in, thinking you a clown. Doesn't the math tell you something? So, I mean, that's what the song pretty much does in a nutshell. It's like, yo, man, we trying to Nixonize you, man. Just go. And then with all the other things that we work on in the society to better it, you know, you could begin to see those things clearer, to begin to work on those things or address policies or protests. People that take a protest at least half seriously, where they say, all right, well, let's figure out, you know, we can come to the table with this, whether they're going to get their point of view across or not. We could get to the table. And then whatever it takes at the end, it depends on how many people are really concerned about making changes and being about change. And so therefore that song just answers that in a nutshell. Yes, it's some kind of inappropriate language for a couple of 60-year-olds, but dude is inappropriate. It's the language that fits this guy minute one. So
that's exactly true. But let me ask you this question, because this song dropped right in the middle of some stuff that was going on. You know, like I co-initiated a group called Refuse Fascism about a month after the elections in 2016, because yes, I saw that this was fascism right, coming down the road, and that we needed to act to stop it and not say, let the system take care of this problem, because exactly, this problem could take care of us. And we've been working on that. And one thing that's hit me is this outpouring of protest and resistance in the wake of the murder of George Floyd.
Right.
How it spread across the country, around the world, brought something that hadn't been on the scene for quite some time. And that is people in the street mobilized and energized, and not just saying we want justice in one case.
Right.
But saying right, we want an end to police murder, we want an end to white supremacy. I went up to Minneapolis to be a part of this. And what I found was that when I talk with people about white supremacy, about immigrant kids in cages, about attacks on women, LGBTQ people, the environment, the wars, folks was, yeah, all of that needs to stop. We got to stop all of this. And that, to me, speaks to some potential to actually do something. And it was in that context that your song drops. Now, I'm not saying that this was a quick job and you did it right on that, but it dropped at a, what would you call it? A good
during time. During the key moment? Yeah. Well, the key moment, like me and DJ Premier, greatest producer, hip hop producer in the world, I think, you know, when we completed the song, that happened to be on the same kind of 24-hour period that when he, you know, when the movement was happening in D.C. and he walked across the street with his regime to that church with the upside-down Bible. Mm-hmm. And we were saying to ourselves, I mean, this song needs to come out right here, you know? So this was like 2 weeks later after that. But it was something that addressed him having the nerve to go to Tulsa, the same place that the Green would riots, a rebellion that taken place in 1921, where the atrocities and the Holocaust in the United States took place right on USA soil. And understand that, you know, if anybody understands that the wipeout of the indigenous people here made Greenwood seem like just another, you know, chapter in a long, sad ass book. So when we look as Black folk to Greenwood, it should introduce us to understanding the series of statehoods that they wiped out. I mean, it was just like, I mean, they treated Greenwood like they treated, like, you know, a lot of the areas and the Sioux people and places like that. That was just like, push the military in and take the law into your own hands to get, you know, get your authority back. So, you know, history introduces us to history if we pay attention, and pay attention is the cheapest price to pay.
Look, you've been at this for a while, and I could take people back through, you know, a lot of folks know Fight to Power, but we can go back beyond Fight to Power to Bring the Noise and, you know, Cold Steel and the Hour of Black Chaos. You have been going at how these injustices, especially the injustices directed at Black people, but not just Black people,
quite
some time, and continuing to lay that bare. And one question I get a lot is folks be like, Carl, why are you still at this?
Right.
I'll put that to you. Now around to you.
Well, I mean, it don't start with me, Carl. I'm born in 1960. I'm wise enough to understand the people I saw in the 60s, I was motivated and moved by, and I was encouraged by parents to pay attention to them. It was a decade that was looks to be as crazy as this decade started out to be. And it was a very influential time. So the soundtracks, as being a culturalist and being from the arts field, because that's what I am, I'm an artist. I've done political cartooning. I was a political cartoonist in my college years in Adelphi in the late 70s for the school newspaper. But, you know, art and music has always done that, and it's always rowed my boat, because you want to talk about people like Curtis Mayfield, who had the honor and pleasure to not only follow his music, but visit him and befriend him, and Harry Belafonte, and people like that. So I'm saying that it interests me to also do that type of art. If I wasn't interested, I still would find a way to be obligated to some change, because that's how I was raised. And I've been fortunate to go around the planet. And I know this is a beautiful world, Carl. People are beautiful. Human beings are beautiful when they understand that they don't get arrogant and think that they're above everything on the planet. So you want younger generations to be to never take that for granted. That's all. So that's why I think culture is a good, you know, a culture is a great way to answer that. And I just decide, I'm turned on by the way I do it. But I like culture when it just doesn't talk about anything and just talks about having a good time. But, you know, it's just like the party call. you don't have the good time in the party if the security at the door is not there. So I guess in culture, I'm like security at the door. But I recognize that people want to have a good time and live life. They just want to have what everybody else has. And that's some, you know, that's to be able to live here and not worry about not having when the select few got everything. I mean, it's ridiculous to drive in the streets and see tents up on the side of the road and look on the television and see that somebody's got like a $36 million house with, you know, 58 rooms in it. And what the fuck is that about, you know? So, you know, I answer to some of that to balance it out.
Okay. All right. The song is State of the Union, Shut the Fuck Up. The artist.
Sorry ass motherfucker, stay away from me.
And also spread that Chuck D was interviewed for the Revolution Nothing Less show, the RNL show by Carl Dix.
Yes.
Somebody needs to catch this interview and they need to catch the show that this interview is on.
I really thank you, Carl. You know, you've been a great inspiration to me, great insight. You're always giving me a heads up on what might be happening that I might have overlooked or don't know. And then I go into it. And you have been immensely helpful throughout my career. Thank you.
Okay, and thank you, Chuck, for being on.
Hash mark nix him now.
Okay.
NIXHIMNOW. Don't even wait till November, man. Make him leave now.
All right, Chuck.
Thanks, Carl.
That was Carl Dix, a representative of the Revolutionary Communist Party, talking with Chuck D of Public Enemy about State of the Union, STFU. And that is from the Revolution Nothing Less show on the YouTube channel, The RevComs. All right. And I want to thank everybody who worked on the show today. I want to thank Henry Carson, my assistant producer, Jeff Pryor, my production assistant. I also want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. If you want to, you can write to me at mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. And right now we're going to go out with the new version of Fight the Power, from this year's BET Awards show, featuring Chuck D, Nas, Black Thought, and more.
This is Revolution Show.
The year is 2020, the number. Another summer, get down. Sound of the funky drummer. Music hitting the heart, cause I know you got soul.
Information age got him seeing what's really wrong with these racist days. I honor the strong and pity the weak. Your thoughts run your life, be careful what you think. Haiti beat France in century 17. Salute Toussaint and Dessalines. And I do love France, know what I mean? It's a system I'm talking, nobody's agreeing. They say it's suicide when dead bodies are swinging. Cowards are hunting black men, that's what I'm seeing. How many toasters have been burnt down? And once Central Park was a thriving black town. Yo, Chuck, I'm fighting the power right now. Thanks to you, Flav and P.E. putting it down. Putting your life on the line so I can rap now. The next generation still singing Fight the Power.
Fight the Power!